I thought we should look at an example of how to use those rectangles. And this example that uses them is a stripped-down version of the applet that I showed you. And it has some features that I haven't told you about yet, like it has something called a thread. And I'm going to tell you about that shortly. So for now, we'll just look at this example. And what I want this applet to do is to have a drawing area, start with the two rectangles in the, I created a red rectangle and a blue rectangle, there were two of them, start with them in the, for you, upper left and upper right corners, and then have them move one pixel at a time down and across the applet drawing area. So obviously I have to have a loop which is going to keep calling move on each of the objects. All right? And it turns out that when you have an applet which has a loop and or does some other lengthy computation, you need to put that into a thread to run independently of the browser window. So what happens is that an applet is running essentially in procedural language as a subroutine of the browser window. And if you have an applet which is taking a long time to run, then the browser window can't respond to other things that the user may do, like try to resize the window or move some other window on top of it. It will essentially freeze up the browser window. So what a thread does is enable you to have a lengthy computation which is going to run concurrently with the browser window, or to run parallel. So the browser window is running independently and seeing what the user is doing and where to move all the windows on the screen, while your applet is figuring out how to move those rectangles. And I'm going to show you more detail about how to do threads in a minute. But it's, I wanted to leave that in this example because it's an important part. So I'm declaring a class, defining a class called test. I'm importing all the graphics. Actually, I'm importing everything from the abstract windowing toolkit, but it includes the graphics. I want this to be an applet, so I say that this class that I'm defining is extending the parent class for all applets. java.applet.capitalapplet. Remember that upper and lowercase matter. So these are two different classes. So everything that is going to run as an applet in the part in the browser window needs to be a subchild of this class, java.applet.applet. In addition, I want to be able to declare this thread. So I say I'm going to implement the runnable interface. Now, the runnable interface is a very simple interface. It doesn't have, it says that anything which says it's going to implement runnable has to have a method called run. So if I'm this applet, by declaring that it's going to implement the runnable interface, is guaranteeing to the compiler that it's going to define a method called run. Then there is a part of the thread package that says that anything which implements runnable will have a method called run, and if you create a thread, you should use this run method as the body of the thread. So I'm throwing a lot of concepts at you very fast. We'll go over this again later, although I must say I'm trying to do Java in three, I think I'm going to have to go at least four lectures, which is a very short time to try to teach Java in. So I'm just trying to get you enough that you can write some simple examples. But anyway, that's what all the definition of the class here means. So we're going to declare a thread. So this lowercase thread is the variable named thread. The capital T is the name of the class. And I'm going to say more about threads, but essentially you start and stop them running, and then you give it a run method in which you define the main computation of the applet. So anytime you have a lengthy computation or you have a loop for the applet to do, you declare a thread and you put everything you want to do in the method called run. instead of, as before, we had a method called paint, which we did the main part of the applet, because all we were doing was drawing one thing to the browser window. Now we have a more extensive computation, and it's all going to go in the method called run. So first of all, there's an important type declaration up here, which is that I'm declaring this variable called object, lowercase object, to be an array, all of whose elements are going to be of type endpoint. Then I create essentially the descriptor for the array by saying, give me a new endpoint of length 2. So that is going to allocate space for an array of length 2. It hasn't yet actually constructed the elements of the array because this is an object type. So here at the top of the applet, where I declare variables, these variables are essentially global to the entire applet. Every method that I write in the applet can access these variables. So if you have a variable which you want to be accessed by more than one method, you declare it first here. Then I can write various methods. One of the methods I want to write is the init method. That's the one which is executed as soon as the applet is downloaded. So in the init method, I'm going to initialize my two rectangles. Was that a question? No, okay. So to do that, individually, I create the elements. So recall that when you declare an array of length 2, you use as indices the values 0 and 1. So the first element is at object sub 0, and now I actually create an M rectangle to start at location pixel location 10, 10, and to be 100 pixels wide and 100 pixels high. Now, you may say, but you declared that array to have, say it would have elements of type M points, and then you created an object of type M rectangle. This is a case where it's okay, because the array is expecting something of the parent class. It's always okay to give it something of the child class. So in fact, I could say that this object array was going to, all the elements were going to be endpoints, and I could give different things. Later on, I'm going to define circles and triangles as well. And so each one could be, one could be a rectangle, one could be a circle, one could be a triangle. It would be okay because they're all children of endpoint. So in any case, I create the rectangle in the first element, and I do a set delta of 1, 1. That's unnecessary, but I just, you know, felt like making it look complete. And so that rectangle, it starts in the upper left corner over here for you and goes down and to the right. And I initialize it to be red. So notice that after I've created something of type M rectangle in object sub 0, I can use methods from the class M rectangle on that object. So I say object sub 0 dot set delta, and that's going to call the method on the object of type M rectangle. Of course, the method set delta wasn't actually defined in M rectangle, but it was defined in the parent, and that will be okay. It will go find the set delta out of the parent and call it. So I do set color to be red. Then in the second object, I do a similar thing. I create a rectangle that starts with X pixel value 200, so that's over on the right, and it's the same size, but I have it move in the X direction to the left and in the Y direction down, and I set its color to be blue. So that's all the initialization, and now since this has a thread and it implements runnable, the main computation is put in this method called run. This, what I'm not showing on this slide is, I'm going to show you later, is in addition to the run method, you should have a start and stop method of the applet that starts and stops the thread, and we'll talk more about that later. But I just didn't have room to show it all. So the main method here is all it's going to do is have a loop that goes on forever, essentially, that is, as long as the thread is not null, that means as long as the thread is defined, it's going to wait for 20, I think this is milliseconds, and then it's going to repaint the screen. And repaint is a special applet method which calls update, which calls paint. Right. So I'm going to show you on the next slide what the paint method looks like. Now, you may have questions about this try and this catch. It's very hard to give examples without explaining the whole language to start with. But essentially, anytime you have call a function which may have a runtime error, like thread sleep can have runtime errors if there's a problem. So you put that inside this special statement called try, anything that can cause a runtime error, and then you give the keyword catch, and after that, in this block, you say what kind of runtime errors you're going to handle, and then you do something to handle them. In this case, I do nothing to handle it.